officially open.
This is draft season. We are finally the week of the NFL draft. I am John Schmelk. We're joined by Tony Pauline, who, of course, you can find this coverage at sportskeeda.com. Dynamic duo. We got two shows this week, folks. Today, Monday, we're recording this literally Monday morning. We're going to turn it right around, get it up Monday afternoon, because a lot of it is Tony's latest intel on what he thinks might happen in the draft. And then on Wednesday, Tony will have his final mock draft. I will pick it apart as we go, but it'll be Tony's picks based on what he thinks and what he's hearing around the league. So that'll give you a good idea of what might happen on Thursday night. And don't forget that draft season is brought to you by Moody's. Decode risk, unlock opportunity. Visit Moody's.com to learn more. Tony, we are finally here. Draft week is upon us. How you feeling, brother?
Anxious. you're trying to get ahead of the news curve. All your opinions, you're exposing your soul to the world. So I go through this every year. I'll get through it, as I'm sure you will and everybody else will.
Well, let's expose our soul for the next 30 or 40 minutes or so as we tell the folks, we'll try to tell them what we think is going to happen on Thursday. Tony, the only place you could start is the quarterbacks. Yeah. What are you hearing about the quarterbacks going near the top of this draft?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Everybody talks about the good parts of the quarterback. I spoke with somebody who I've known for about 30 years now, and this was a well-placed source who I've known and I trusted. It's given me a lot of information. And basically, what he broke down was some of the things he didn't like about the quarterbacks. The only quarterback that he really had a positive overall view of was Jaden Daniels. He said Jaden Daniels, he believes, is the most ready quarterback of the top quarterbacks. He is the most NFL ready. He'll be able to step into the starting lineup and have the fewest bumps in the road. Obviously, the frame's got to get a little bit bigger. With Caleb Williams, a lot of it is what we talked about. He's concerned with the fact that Caleb Williams never played from a huddle. And, you know, you would think that, oh, that's easier to teach. But, you know, it's a different perspective. When you're in the huddle, you step to the line of scrimmage, the play clock is running down. So he believes that's going to take some time. He talked about, you know, the fact that he takes a while to go through progressions, Caleb Williams, and the fact that he's an arm thrower. Drake May, he likes Drake May a lot, but I was told Drake May is at least a year away from being NFL ready. So the fundamentals need a lot of work. Said that, you know, when Drake May's film, his good film is outstanding, and it could be better than any quarterback here, but it's few and far between. And there's a lot of bad film interlaced with that good film.
By the way, I think that is a very fair way to describe it, too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it's interesting because he said, you know, May is at least a year away. We'll see whatever team drafts him. You know, do they sit him or do they spoon feed him into the lineup right away? The conversation on J.J. McCarthy is he feels McCarthy is a half a season away. Obviously, as we talked about, he loves his leadership. He says he's a bright kid. He's a smart kid. Told me a story how when they would bring recruits into Michigan and they would use J.J. McCarthy to recruit these kids, J.J. McCarthy would tell them outright, listen, if you want to come to college and party and have a good time, go elsewhere. But if you want to win a national championship, this is the place for you. And I said that, you know, that's heavy stuff, you know, for a younger kid. That's the kind of person that people gravitate to. I expressed my concern about the fact that I don't believe that J.J. McCarthy has a next level arm. He doesn't have great arm talent. And he agreed with me, but he said, you know, there are times where J.J. McCarthy will make some great passes down the field, which leads you to believe that he's got that arm talent and you just have to harvest it and allow him to use it, you know, teach him to use it on an every down basis if that's what you want. But he likes McCarthy, he likes the upside. He feels he's a half a season away. He's going to have to sit for half a season. Again, the interesting one was Drake May, because he felt that, you know, if you put Drake May in week one, you could ruin Drake May. And you know, whatever team drafts Drake May in the top three, top four, the fans are going to be clamoring for him to be a day one starter.
Now, the stuff with Drake May, I'm assuming it's fundamentals, Tony's talking about, like footwork and that's being consistent with, you know, his throwing form and all that stuff and just getting that right, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I think that a large part that goes back to the fact that part of those poor fundamentals is probably because he was getting beat up so much late in the year. He's just trying to get rid of the ball.
No, totally understand. All right, now that you got your kind of take from someone you trust on the four quarterbacks, and I think he described them pretty well. I don't know if Daniels is that much more ready than the other guys, but I totally understand why you would think that after watching his tape at LSU. Now, what do you think and what are you hearing about how these quarterbacks might go off the board when we get to Thursday night?
Well, number one, Chicago's going to take Caleb Williams. Number two, everything I hear, unless there is a last-minute, you know, surprise, Washington's going to go with Jaden Daniels. Now, you know, there's been some talk from Daniels. He's intrigued by playing at Minnesota, and the agent was all upset because Washington brought in all the quarterbacks last week at the same time to sit him down. And the agent didn't like that. Listen, the agent's being an agent. The agent, you know, wanted to know yesterday that Washington was going to take Jaden Daniels. He doesn't want to see this. So that's the agent being the agent. I think Washington's going to have to decide, you know, who the best quarterback is for them. And with Cliff Kingsbury as their offensive coordinator, everything points to Jaden Daniels. But this is a big selection for Washington. This is going to set the tone for their future with their new owner. And this, you know, this is a big pick for Adam Peters, who, from my understanding, really had a lot of input in San Francisco taking Trey Lance back when they took Trey Lance. So he does not want to miss on this. Things get interesting, you know, with the Patriots. Wednesday night, I had heard the day before the de facto general manager, Elliot Wolf, went up there and said, we're open for business. A lot of people had said that they were convinced that the Patriots are going to trade out of that third pick. If you go back to the combine, I had written about this at the combine. If the quarterback that they didn't like, Jaden Daniels, wasn't available to them, they would consider trading down. And then Elliot Wolf says, you know, we're open for business. I think they really want a quarterback. I think the owner really wants a quarterback. I think that even though people think they're going to trade down, it's either going to be a small trade down a couple of spots, or someone's going to have to offer them a huge package and they'll take a quarterback. Whether that quarterback is JJ McCarthy, whether that quarterback is Drake May, is kind of still up in the air. They've done a good job, you know, kind of hold, you know, basically keeping everything close to the vest. And then, you know, Arizona, I think they would trade. I'm told they would trade down if the right package is put there, just as long as they can stay within the top 11, because they're still going to get a pass catcher. Otherwise, it'll be Marvin Harrison. Chargers, you know, again, they're open for business. They would trade down if the right package is there available to them. If somebody wants to move up to get a quarterback, if a quarterback's there, or move up for a receiver. If not, I continue to hear that the Chargers are going to take Alt from Notre Dame with that fifth selection. Heard it as of late last night.
All right, let me put this to you, Tony. Let's say, is there a difference, you think, in terms of how much teams are going to want to trade up if it's May there sitting at four versus McCarthy sitting there at four? Does either one of those quarterbacks, you think, garner more suitors, whether it's, you know, teams at 11, 12, or 13, quarterback alley, which is what I think Darren Jeremiah called that last week. I love that because it is quarterback alley, right? It's the Vikings, it's the Broncos, it's the Raiders, and or maybe even the Giants at six, right? So do you think that changes based on which one of those quarterbacks is available at four and five, what type of package the Cardinals and Chargers might get offered to them?
No, in the sense that, you know, Denver really wants J.J. McCarthy. That's who the guy that Sean Payton wants because he feels it's a perfect fit. I don't know that Minnesota, it's going to make a big difference whatever quarterback is there for them, that they're going to alter the package. They're going to offer more for one quarterback other than the other. I mean, as far as the Raiders are concerned, the guy that Antonio Pierce really wants is Jaden Daniels. So if Jaden Daniels somehow gets past Washington, I'm sure he's going to be, you know, pounding the table with Tom Telesco to make a big move up and get Jaden Daniels. I just don't know that they're going to have the firepower or the picks. Same thing with Denver to move up. I think it's all basically, you know, in the hands of Minnesota, especially with those two first-round choices.
How far down do you think Arizona and the Chargers would want to go? Would they be willing to take less in a package if they only have to go down to, let's say, the Giants at six? Or would they prefer to get a bigger package, get more picks, and slide into that 11 to 13 area?
Well, I think with Arizona, obviously, if you move from four to six, you're gonna bring in a smaller haul of picks as opposed to, say, moving from four to 11. I think Arizona really wants to stay, doesn't want to go much further than that 11th spot. Because in that 11th spot, you're going to get, you know, you could potentially get Roma Dunze, outside shot Malik Nabers, worst case scenario, even a worst case scenario, is Brock Bowers, assuming the Jets don't take him, which I think the Jets will. But I think at 11, you're going to get one of those top four pass catchers. I think if you move, say, to where the Raiders select, you could lock the Cardinals could lock themselves out of one of those four pass catchers. I think with Harbaugh, I think he'd be willing to move down even further just to get a lot of picks, have a lot of needs, wants to load up on the offensive line. He needs some receiver, and it's a rich offensive line class. They need receivers. It's a rich receiver class. They could use some cornerbacks. There's some decent cornerbacks. So I think the Chargers would be more apt to making a bigger move down the board from what I'm hearing than the Cardinals, who would prefer to. I don't think they want to trade much further than Denver or Minnesota, because there's a chance, very good chance, if they go further, they're going to lock themselves out of one of those top pass catchers.
And I imagine the Patriots wouldn't want to move too far down either, right? They would probably want to stay higher rather than go, you know, too low, so they can get one of those premium guys.
I think the only way the Patriots move is if it's a hellacious package. I mean, a huge, huge package. This is a new regime. They're starting from scratch, basically. So they have some leeway. You know, it's just a matter of how much is the owner in there beating them, saying you got to take a quarterback. You got to take a quarterback because, you know, the team needs a quarterback. But I think that the Patriots, I think the only way they move down is if they're offered a huge package. But they would probably move down significantly because, again, if you're moving down, that means you're basically going to lock you don't want any of the quarterbacks. What do they need? Well, they need some offensive linemen. They need receivers. And, again, it's rich at both those positions in this year's draft.
How do you think the Broncos are going to facilitate that move up? Let's say McCarthy is there at four, right? And they want McCarthy. They call Arizona. They call the Chargers. They're trying to work this out. You know, they don't have a second-round pick this year to trade, so that makes it tough on them, right? They have next year's one. They have this year's one. Are we talking Patrick Surtain Jr.? Or are they going to try to entice with a player?
That's what I've been reporting since the Shrine Bowl. You know, if it takes Patrick Surtain, he would be part. He is, you know, rumored to be part of the package. You go back to what I wrote at Sports Gita from the Shrine Bowl. Had some help there with my buddy Cecil Lammy out in Denver, who turned me on to that. And yeah, I think, you know, remember, Surtain is not Sean Payton's guy. Sean, you know, even though he's a great player, he's an outstanding cornerback and they are tough to come by, he's not Sean Payton's player. Sean Payton wants that quarterback. So I think absolutely Surtain would be part of a package to move up to get one of the quarterbacks plus additional first round picks.
And I'll tell you what, I think that would be great value for a team like the, you know, again, I don't think the Patriots are moving either, but look, they need a ton of players at premium positions, a good fit for them. It'd be a great fit for Arizona, who was to fill out their defense. They need a lot of players. The Chargers might be a little tougher for them just because of the salary cap issues that they're dealing with, but I think it could work for them too. So, yeah, I think that's interesting. It's like the Vikings have the picks. The Broncos have the player. The Giants have the advantage of only being at six. Again, who knows if they even want to move up or have a desire to move up. We don't know that, but I know they've been thrown out there by various reports as a team that might be willing to do that. So it's interesting how teams have different kind of groups of prospects and players and picks that they can put in these trays. And it depends what these teams at the top might desire. One team we haven't talked much about, Tony, in terms of trading down, but I've thought about it a lot this weekend, and I think it makes sense. If one of those big pass catchers is there at eight, or two of them, and a team really wants one, the Falcons, I think we both think are going to pick a defensive player, right? And I don't know if either one of us even think there's a defensive player worth a top 10 pick in this draft. And we'll talk about how the corners and defensive end stack, I guess, is part of this conversation. But do you think the Falcons are a team that wouldn't mind moving down into the early teens and they're still going to get a really good defensive player if they don't know if one of those guys is worthy of the eighth overall pick, whoever it might be?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, you have to look at, you know, maybe Tennessee at seven, definitely Atlanta at eight, maybe Chicago at nine, as far as teams that want to trade down. And the fact is,
you remember, the Bears have like no day three picks. They only have four picks in this draft. So they're going to want some extra picks too.
And it, you know, you talk about one of the big pass catchers, a team could move up for Brock Bowers. There's no doubt about it. I've been hearing that, but literally within the past 24 to 48 hours, the team, you know, the Jets seem to have their heart set on Brock Bowers. That's where everything is pointed. I think the Bears are another team that could take Brock Bowers, even though they're paying Cole Kmet a lot of money. So I absolutely think that Atlanta, you know, doesn't have to make a huge move. They can move down to a team that wants whatever receivers there, maybe Brock Bowers, And they're still going to get a real good pass rusher, a good defensive player. They could even surprise people, I think, and make a small move down and take Byron Murphy.
All right, so let's talk about it, Tony. Who do you think is going to be the first defensive player off the board? I've heard rumblings over the weekend that maybe it's going to be Byron Murphy, and yeah, that wouldn't be a huge surprise. Then you have the edge rushers, obviously, and then the corners.
Yeah, I wrote an article that was posted on Sports Skeeter today that, you know, Atlanta could surprise people and go Byron Murphy. I still think it's going to be Dallas Turner, but I think Murphy is going to be selected much earlier than anyone thinks. As far as the corners, I mean, you know, I was thinking about this morning when I was working out. You know, how funny is it? I mean, you and I are at the senior, we go to the Shrine Bowl, we're at the Senior Bowl, and at the Senior Bowl, the question with Quinnon Mitchell is he going to cement himself as a first-round pick? And then I was talking to you, and I said, you know, people are now talking about Quinnon Mitchell being the first cornerback selected in the draft, and we're much closer than that. It's either going to be Terry and Arnold or Quinnon Mitchell who will be the first cornerback selected in the draft, which tells you the kind of process that Quinnon Mitchell has. I still think I have not heard that it's not going to be Dallas Turner. The only thing that I have heard is Byron Murphy is going to go earlier than people believe.
Interesting. How do you think these pass rushers, the edge guys specifically, Tony, stack up on most people's boards when you take a look at them? Because I do think that depending on what you like, they're very different types of players. You have the injury issue with Latu. How do you think these guys are stacking up on most teams' boards? And how different do you think it is from team to team? And how far could one of these guys potentially drop?
Well, I mean, the general order and the order I have it is Dallas Turner is the first edge off the board. I have him going to Atlanta. Then it's going to be Jared Verse somewhere in the top 15. Then I happen to like Chop Robinson. And then Latu of UCLA, who a lot of people think is going to go to the Rams. But it's a lot, it's not all the same. There were some teams out there that I've spoken to that actually have Verse as their fourth edge rusher on the board of the top four guys. There are people who think that Chop Robinson is going to go much earlier than anyone expects because of the athleticism, because of the upside. I'm told he's just a phenomenal person. He's one of these guys that wants to do everything right, wants to do everything and anything to get better. And the short arms, you're not going to change. I don't know that short arms are that huge of a deal or much of a deal breaker. I still have it, Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, which is out of the norm for most people, and Latu. But some people think that Verse could be the fourth edge rusher selected in the draft. And other people think that Chop Robinson could make a big move up on, or he's going to go much earlier. I mean, it's not that he's going to make a big move up. The moves have already been made. He's going to go much earlier on draft day.
Do you think any of those guys get past pick 20?
I'm going to, right now, I'll say unlikely. I think the Rams, it seems that they are locking in on Latu. It could be a situation where all four or within the 19th pick. When you look at it, you figure Atlanta, New Orleans, I think is going to have to go offensive line. Seattle is going to take it. It's like very likely to take an edge rusher unless they have a chance to take Byron Murphy. The Rams, and there's always a surprise team that takes an edge rusher because there was such a high priority position come draft day.
Yeah, that's the thing. People always will. It's not quite to the extent you overvalue quarterbacks, right? But people understand how rare those guys are and how hard they are to find. That I'm with you. I think I would be surprised if one of those guys got far past 20. Maybe the Latu injury, medical stuff has an issue as a role in that, which could change it. But
even if you look 20, 21, Miami could take a pass rusher. Philadelphia is always in need of a pass rusher. At worst, you're looking 26 with Tampa.
Yeah, I want to get to Philly in a second. Just to wrap up these teams in the teens, which I think is interesting, Tony. You know, we talked about the Broncos trading up. How about a chance of them trading back and maybe trying to get a guy like Michael Penix, or maybe the Raiders taking a guy like Penix after trading back? How do you think him and or Bo Nix even kind of play into these teams in quarterback alley if they miss out on one of the top fours?
Well, a couple things. I do think, and I had written about it last week, that if Denver can't trade up to get a quarterback, you know, they're going to have a good player sitting them in the face when they're called to the clock at 12 if they can't move up. The question is, do they take that player or do they entertain offers to move back?
Because remember, they cannot move back up into the first because they don't have a second round pick, which is why it's difficult for them.
Or they're going to have to use next year's first round pick if they want to move back into the bottom half. So I absolutely see that it's a possibility that they can move down to the bottom half of round one and then take Bo Nix there. That is something that has been talked about by a lot of people. I mean, Sean Payton, from what I was told, felt like he got burnt because he missed out on Patrick Mahomes by one slot. He had Patrick Mahomes. That was his guy. There were rumors that the Saints were offered a trade to move up in the top 10 to take Patrick Mahomes. They didn't take the trade. Once Cincinnati took John Ross, he thought he was home free. They were going to get Patrick Mahomes. And then Kansas City made that big move to take Patrick Mahomes with the 10th pick. And Peyton is basically, it feels like he got burnt. And he does not want that to happen again.
Hell, I would feel that way too. I don't blame him. And especially with all the other times the Saints traded up for players, the one time they don't, they get roasted by it, right?
Exactly. And the players that they've traded up for, how have they done, right?
Right.
That's why I expect them to be active to get the quarterback. If he can't move up, there's talk he can move down and get Bo Nix. Now, Michael Penix is an interesting situation for a couple of reasons. I like Penix. I have him as a late first, early second, but he could go in the middle part of round one. Number one, the Raiders, if they don't trade up to get a quarterback, and the quarterback that Antonio Pierce really wants is Jaden Daniels, I doubt that's going to happen. They could take Penix at 14. I was told back at the combine, and I wrote about this, that if the Patriots didn't get Jaden Daniels, they could move back into the late part of round one and take Michael Penix. And then when I talked to somebody last week, who was convinced that the Patriots would move down, I said, well, would they move down into, you know, late part of round one, take Michael Penix, which is what I heard at the combine? He goes, no. He goes, Penix may not be there. If they make a trade with a team like Minnesota, they may take Michael Penix with the 11th selection. So that is something to keep an eye on. There are a lot of people who think that Penix is going to go, you know, in that 11, 12, 13 range and be selected much earlier than anybody anticipates.
Interesting. So you feel fairly confident he'll get picked before Bo Nix at this point in terms of what you're hearing?
I would be shocked if Bo Nix is selected before Michael Penix. I'd be absolutely shocked.
All right.
The only way that happens is, you know, Sean Payton says the heck with it and takes Bo Nix with the 12th pick. There are a very small percentage of people who think that's going to happen. I don't see that happening.
All right. We mentioned the corners. A lot of those players, Tony, will be going in that teens area that we're talking about. How different are the boards on the corners? Is it mostly Arnold and or Mitchell on top of those boards? Or could guys like Wiggins, DeJean, McKinstry, you know, get into that top two for some teams?
No, it's basically everything that I've heard and spoke people with. It's all Mitchell and Arnold by a decent margin. I mean, not a half a round, but a little bit less than a half a round. One interesting thing that I've heard in the past couple of days is a lot of teams have moved Cooper DeJean to their safety board. They don't think he's going to be able to play cornerback. And that's been a topic of conversation, you know, on our show and on the outside world. Even when I do interviews, is Cooper DeJean going to be a cornerback? A lot of teams think that he's going to be better off at safety because of the fact that he's better facing the action. He shows a little bit of stiffness in his game.
Well, he played so much zone at Iowa. I think that's why people think that, right?
Better facing the action, like I said, and the return skills. Now, does that hurt his draft stock? You know, people say, well, you know, that's going to help the other cornerbacks. Maybe, maybe not, because it's not a good safety class, right? And there are teams that need safety. And if there are teams that see that, you know, we got this guy who's got this great size, he's incredibly athletic. You know, he could be an outstanding return specialist and he fills our safety need. You know, Cooper DeJean could still be a late first round pick to a team that needs a safety. Nate Wiggins, there are some people that have their question about Nate Wiggins. The fact that They think that he's not gonna, doesn't have the longevity to stay in the league. They think he could be a one contract type of guy
because of his weight.
Kyle Wilson, D. Milliner. I just think that, you know, the size, the unpolished ball skills, he doesn't play to his 40 time, a little bit of inconsistency. That's not a majority of thought out there, but that has been brought, that has been put to people, put to me by a bunch of people. The other thing about Kool-Aid McKinstry is I'm told he will be ready by camp. He will be 100% ready by camp. He had that Jones fracture in his foot, which they found out, which was diagnosed at the combine, wasn't able to work out the combine. The combine did not allow him to work out. Ran the 4.47 on his pro day, had surgery 2 days later. I'm told he's 100%. That should help his draft stock. So it wouldn't surprise me at this point if McKinstry is the third cornerback taken off the board.
Third corner. And then how about Mike Sansor still, Tony? He landed as my, I guess that would be sixth corner after McKinstry. I think he's a really good second-round pick, but he's small. I know that sometimes scares people in the league off a little bit. What are you hearing about Sansor still around the league?
If you have Cooper DeJean as a cornerback, then Sansor is your – you know, your sixth cornerback. If you have him as a, if you have Cooper DeJean as a safety, then Sanistrill is the fifth cornerback. And that's the way it looks like it's going to shake out. Sanistrill could be a very early second round pick. He's had a phenomenal, as we talked about last week, phenomenal lead up to the draft. People absolutely adored his pro day workout, not just the defensive back skills. He showed incredible athleticism, running routes. He's a former receiver. They like his head. They like his brain. Wouldn't surprise me if Sanistrill is off the board within the first 10 to 15 selections, round two. You get to the top of round two, who's there? Right, the L.A. Chargers, who need a cornerback. And who's the L.A. Chargers coach? Right, Jim Harbaugh, who coached Sanistrill at Michigan. So I think he's going to go a lot. He's a player that's getting a lot of play and very likely to go much earlier than people project.
What's your feel for the Eagles at 22, Tony? Adam Schefter had in his little notes and news column this morning, Monday, that he thinks that they're now shopping around, maybe trying to trade up to get one of these corners. It's not a Howie thing to do to draft a corner in the first round, but they certainly have a need there. Is that your sense that they are going to, in fact, try to fill that need with a corner in this draft?
It's definitely a Howie Roseman type of thing to move around the draft, right?
Yeah, well, that's true.
And down. So that is his thing. It's funny because I did a podcast on Saturday, a Seattle-based podcast, Seahawks-based podcast, and they asked me, you know, if the Seahawks traded down, who would they trade to? And I said, keep an eye on the Eagles. Keep an eye on the Eagles, who would want to move up and get one of the cornerbacks. I could absolutely see that happening. If Seattle thinks that they can move down and get up, if they lose out on Byron Murphy, a guy that they like, and they think that they can move down to 22, and get a pass rusher, I could absolutely see that happening. I think that is, excuse me, that makes sense. Seattle has had a penchant to move down the pass, and the Eagles move all over the board. I think that's absolutely a possibility.
All right, a couple more questions for you, Tony, then I have a couple from the internet as well. This wasn't on your list. I'm just curious. How universal do you think the order of these offensive tackles are after Alt, or are these teams all over the place with the Fashanus, Fautanus, Guyton's, Latham's, Mims, all those guys kind of in that mix in the middle of the first round?
It's all over the place. I've been pretty steadfast. I like Fashanu a lot. Some teams have Fuega as the second offensive tackle off the board, and then J.C. Latham. Some people think Amarius Mims is a late first-round pick. Some people believe that Guyton is a second-round pick. So it is all over the board. Some people have like Sua Mitata of the kid from BYU. Some people have him as a third round pick. Others tell me the Kansas City Chiefs will take him with the last pick of round one.
All over the place. But there's a lot of them, which will help teams certainly try to figure this out.
It makes sense because it's only eye of the beholder. There are a lot of people who think that Fatanu still is a guard, the kid from Washington. You know, there are some people who thought that think that Fuega's a guard. So if you can get a tackle much earlier, it's a higher priority position. I still don't understand. And granted, it's only going to happen on draft day how Fashanu has fallen so far. And
I don't get it either. I'm with you. Like if you don't get Alt and you need a starting left tackle this year, why you wouldn't draft that guy, Tony, I have no idea.
Right. And it's, you know, while he gets pushed around on the running downs, he absolutely does. I mean, that was really the problem with his game, is he's not a strong run blocker, but that can be easily reversed. And, you know, it's something we're not going to figure out. Even if Ashano is a mid-first round pick, the 18th pick or whatever, you know, falls to the bottom half of round one, we're not going to figure it out for 2 to 3 years. I just don't see how this guy, who is a premier pass blocker, great feet, great technique, great mobility, gets out on the second level, is all of a sudden everyone's just kind of knocking him off and putting players like J.C. Latham ahead of him.
Yeah, it's odd. I'm with you. All right, let's go through some quickies here, Tony. Who do you think could go much earlier than people expect in this draft?
Well, I think we already talked about that. It would be Byron Murphy. There's no doubt about it. I think there's a slight chance Atlanta could take him at 8, or they could trade down and take him. But I think when all said and done, Murphy's absolutely going to be a mid-first-round pick. I spoke with somebody about Murphy and the Seattle Seahawks, and their response was, he's not going to be there for him.
Yep, wouldn't surprise me at all. What player do you think might go later than people expect?
This is going to surprise people. This actually surprised me. It's going to be from what I'm hearing, it's Jackson Powers Johnson for a couple of reasons. I'm told that he's just got the personality that rubs some people the wrong way. You know, that can be said about anybody. That can be said about me.
And me.
So I'm not a first-round pick. Somebody else told me that they said, you know, they think that Jackson Powers Johnson was just being overrated by a lot of people, and he really was never a first-round pick. He's still my number one center. I'm still going to mock him in the first round. But there are teams out there that have a second-round grade on Jackson Powers Johnson.
Is there medical aspects to that too, Tony?
I've not heard anything bad about medical.
All right, you kind of mentioned this with Kansas City and linking them to Sua Mataia. Who else have you heard the Chiefs might go after with their final pick here? They need tackles. Also need a receiver, especially what's going on with Rashee Rice.
And a cornerback, right? Because they lost the Jerry Sneed. So, you know, those three positions – I've heard Sua Mataia as of just a couple days ago. I know that they like Jordan Morgan. They didn't think that Jordan Morgan would be available to them. I think it's going to be one of those two players. But like you said, I mean, who expected them to take the Kansas State defensive pass rusher last year?
I'm going to throw one name out there for a guy that I got to go earlier than people expect. I'm going to throw Graham Barton in there. There's a lot of love for him. I think he might be gone in the teens. People think he might be there in the 20s. I'd be surprised by that. I think he'll go before Jackson Powers Johnson as a guy that teams can move like all over the field and, you know, play at different positions if you need him. And I think teams really value that. A couple of the quickies, Tony.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I have, you know, I should have said this. Jackson Powers Johnson is my highest rated center, but I think Graham Barton is going to be the first center taken, although he's never played center. You say the teens, I don't see him getting past Pittsburgh at 20.
Yeah,
and
I'm with you.
I reported that last week. People were saying, you know, Pittsburgh at 20 for Graham Barton makes perfect sense. And the reason was, as far as Pittsburgh was concerned, they actually need a tackle and they need a center. And Graham Barton can play both. Granted, he can't play both at the same time, but they figure, well, we'll try him at center. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, well, we could always move him to tackle as a contingency plan. I don't agree with the tackle part. But he was a successful tackle, offensive tackle at Duke.
Yeah, and then you have Miami at 21 needs a center. And then Dallas at 24, Tony, also needs a tackle and a center. What do you think they're thinking?
Well, I mean, that could be a good place for Jackson Powers Johnson, maybe a receiver. I think when you look at it, if Jackson Powers Johnson falls, I mean, that's definitely a Dallas type of offensive line.
Interesting. All right, a couple other nuggets here, Tony. You mentioned Dallas. I've heard so many people linking them to Jonathan Brooks, the Texas running back in the second round. I don't know if that's just because it's Texas and Texas or whatever. Yeah. They do need a running back. They might have the biggest running back need in the whole draft. Do you think that's the first running back off the board, Brooks to Dallas at 56?
I have Trey Benson. It wouldn't surprise me if Jonathan Brooks is the first running back taken. There are teams that have Brooks rated ahead of Trey Benson of Florida State. They're all bunched up in late second, early third round. I talked to teams. They got Brooks, Benson, Blake Corum, Ray Davis, Jalen Wright of Tennessee is getting a lot of love, and Marshawn Lloyd. The guy that they seem to be a little bit cooler on that I absolutely like, and I know you like him too, is Will Shipley of Clemson. I haven't heard too many teams that have Will Shipley as a day two selection, I do think he will eventually go there.
Yeah, and I think whoever gets him is going to get a real good NFL player, man. That guy's going to be maybe not every down back, but he's going to be good. What teams do you think maybe could be willing or interested in trading back up into round one, Tony?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. What are they going to trade back into round one for? Usually it's a quarterback, but obviously, if you figure New England gets their quarterback in round one, they're not going to trade back in. The Cardinals don't need the Commanders.
How about the Commanders trading back in to try to get an offensive tackle to pair with their new quarterback? Because they have a big need at tackle, too.
They have a massive need at tackle. I mean, that would make sense if the offensive tackle that they like is there. You know, if Suamataea, Jordan Morgan start to fall, I am told that, I reported this a while ago, that Jordan Morgan won't, the latest he'll go is 36 to Washington. So it would make sense that, if Morgan gets past Baltimore at pick number 30, the Commanders could make a move up to secure him and put him on the left side.
All right, fourth and fifth wide receivers drafted, Tony. Is Brian Thomas your the consensus, quote unquote, fourth wide receiver on most team boards? And I think the more interesting question is who's five?
Yeah, it is Brian Thomas. Five kind of waivers between the two Texas kids, Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Worthy. I mean, Worthy obviously, is that home run hitting deep threat. Mitchell is a guy who's more of an underneath receiver, although he's got some sneaky speed and he's got a lot of untapped potential. I've not seen anyone, or I've not talked to anyone, that doesn't have Brian Thomas as their number four receiver. After that, are you looking for the home run hitter, the guy that consistently stretches the field vertically, or do you want the more consistent, bigger bodied, underneath intermediate wideout? If you want the latter, you're taking Adonai Mitchell. If you want the speedster, you're going with Xavier Worthy.
All right, let's talk about the two local teams, Tony. First, the Jets. You kind of already linked them to Brock Bowers. What else do you think they might be thinking there at 10?
I haven't heard too much as far as receivers are concerned. I hear it's Brock Bowers or an offensive lineman. Offensive lineman, I know that Fuega is a favorite of Joe Douglas. That's been reported since the Senior Bowl. I'm not told that that has changed. Somebody told me that they think that on draft night, that Douglas is going to be banging the table for Fuega. I personally believe that number 10 is a little bit too early for Fuega. Everything points to Brock Bowers, which is why a team may make a move up in front of the Jets to grab Bowers.
Let me just understand. If the general manager is pounding the table for a player, why wouldn't they just pick that player?
What team are we talking about?
No, the Jets. You said that Joe Douglas loves Fuaga, right? So if he really likes Fuaga, he's the decision maker. Why wouldn't they just pick Fuaga? Why would they then go with Bowers?
You think that would be it. But again, they're in a win-now mode. And the question is, they made the trade for Morgan Moses, although they basically gave away a six-pack of beer to get him when you look at what they traded for him. The fact is a guy like Bowers going to help the team, a win-now team, the first week of the season? Or is Fuega going to help the Jets more with a win-now team? I mean, if it was up to me, I'm taking Fashanu for left tackle. Not only for maybe short-term, depending on what happens with Tyron Smith, but longer-term. But again, the Jets have to draft players that are going to be on the field week one producing.
How about the Giants?
Well, the interesting thing about the Giants is, I've read headlines, and I don't get the sense that they are – desperately looking to trade up to get a quarterback, as a lot of people have suggested. I'm sure they're going to broach the topic, but I don't think the Giants are going to throw all their chips on the table. From what I've heard, it's like people tell me, they expect them to look to consider it, but it's nothing. It's not going to be a do or die situation with the Giants. From what I've heard, that they got to move up in the 2024 draft and get a quarterback.
All right, Tony, let's go through a couple of these questions we got. This will be the last show we take questions, because the mock draft we're doing Wednesday is our final show before the draft. This one, Robbie Nunes, are you still hearing Denver is going to do everything they can to move up for a quarterback?
Yes, absolutely. It's funny because I reported that story, I think, on Wednesday, and then they came out Thursday and they said, well, we're just going to wait and see. We're not going to be ready. But yeah, Sean Payton, first of all, they need a quarterback, right? And I think Sean Payton wants to get the quarterback to run his offense.
if the Giants, is from Michael Tauber, if the Giants trade out of the top 10 and trade back Tony, let's say the Vikings at 11 and 23, who do you think they might look for to draft at those two spots?
Well, you've got to figure they could still get one of the pass catchers there, right? Because I mean, if they draft that, who, you know, are the Chargers going to take a pass catcher, or are they going to take Alt? If you assume they're going to take Alt, then Tennessee's there. Is Tennessee, they could use a pass catcher. You know, you got Chicago, Atlanta. I still think it would be one of the pass catchers would be available to the Giants. And, you know, if I'm a Giant fan and they trade back to 11 and I get one of those pass catchers, whether it be a Dunze, possibly Neighbors, I'm doing backflips.
All right, this one from at JP. Tony, can you address, and we kind of already mentioned this, but he's linking it to a specific team. Tony, can you address your report about Sertan potentially being available in a trade-up from Denver for a top QB? As a Giant fan, a scenario like this could play out from a move from 6 to 12 for the Giants. I would say they would probably make that move before the quarterback got to 6, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and this is something – this is nothing new. I mean, you go back, this is something I initially reported from the Shrine Bowl, that this was a possibility. This was being talked about then, and it just resurfaced recently when I was talking. We were talking about the Sean Payton story, not losing out on Patrick Mahomes. And I said, they don't have a second round pick. And the response was, yeah, but they got Patrick Surtain, and they could dangle him. So that has resurfaced. And you're right. I mean, I think if Patrick Surtain would be part of a package to move to 4, Arizona, maybe 3 to the Patriots.
All right, this one from at NY Giants Sports. What's a surprise player, Tony, that could move up into the first round that nobody's talking about? And besides Jackson Powers Johnson, who you mentioned, a surprise player that could fall out of the first round?
Okay, well, you already mentioned Jackson Powers Johnson, a guy that could move into the late part of round one. I'm going, well, I don't know that Darius Robinson would be a surprise at this point. Cooper DeJean, you know, I'm going to throw a name out there. And this guy's been getting a lot of play lately. Marshawn Nealon of Western Michigan. I think he's going to go, we talked about him last week. He's going to go earlier in the sense that he's probably going to go mid-second round. But it wouldn't shock me, you know, one of those teams late. I knew that the San Francisco 49ers absolutely love Marshawn Nealon, but then they went and signed 2 pass rushers in free agency. That's a guy who I think would blow people away as a late first-round pick.
Funny, I had Dane Brugler on last week on our Giants Huddle podcast here, Tony, and he mentioned Nealon as a potential late first-round pick too. So it's funny that both you guys have kind of got that on the grapevine. So definitely pay attention to that name, folks. This one from Senior Drill Sergeant. Any truth to the Ravens potentially moving back to the second round?
I'm sure if the right offer is there. I mean, the Ravens are looking at offensive tackles. They're looking at a guy like Darius Robinson, maybe a cornerback. So, I mean, a lot of funky things happen late in the late part of round one. I'm sure they would entertain offers. I don't know that they have their heart set on any single person. You know, how can you when you're selecting that late in the first round?
This is, final one is from at Anthony, or just Anthony. This tag is confusing. Why is there no consideration at all for the cornerback position in round one for the Giants? The cornerback, this is me reading it, the cornerback room is weak, and after the top 3 or 4 in the draft, the rest are nickels and safety converts. If you do want a wide receiver, there will be some good ones at 47. Neighbors is okay, but I'd rather have Quinion Mitchell over Roma Dunze.
Because no quarterback, no cornerback ranks as a top 10 player in this draft.
And yeah, I think Odunze on almost 98% of the boards, Tony, is going to have a higher grade than
Quinion. It's not only that, is if you draft for need and you bypass outstanding players, it's going to come back around and bite you in the rear end. And there's going to be a lot of woulda, shoulda, couldas 2 or 3 years down the line. As good of a player as I think Quinion Mitchell, you know, could be, you're not going to take him with the sixth player, a sixth pick of the draft, when there are probably going to be a half a dozen players that have higher grades than them available to you.
All right, Tony, final thoughts before we say goodbye.
Going to be crazy. I mean, do the mock draft on Wednesday. You know, you kind of sit here on pins and needles waiting to see what happens, waiting to get the news, waiting to hear the news. Should be fun.
Yeah, and then Tony and I will record a reaction to the first round of the draft on Thursday night. We'll get that up. And then we're going to record our reaction to the entire draft on Saturday night, and we'll get that up. And then we'll be back the following week after the draft. Tony's going on a little vacation, getting a little relaxation in. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about, oh, my gosh, the 2025 draft and players that you want to keep an eye on over the summer and do some summer scouting to get ready for next year's college football season. For Tony Pauline from Sportskeeda, I am John Schmelk. Do not forget, everybody, that draft season was brought to you by Moody's. Decode risk, unlock opportunity. Visit Moody's.com to learn more. We'll see you on Wednesday with our final mock draft of the year.